Thank you, thank you. What singing, what music, what talent. Hallelujah. Now, my assignment is to hold the attention of 200 people for 2 hours. Well, that's what I was told. I've got a tale to tell on the preacher, and I'm not telling it because he's not here, because I know it'll get back to him. Not only that, he'll be watching. He'll be online checking us out. Well, the way it went, the preacher came out of his study the other day, and he was all excited about, he told Sister Cheryl, the longest sermon the Lord Jesus ever preached was the Sermon on the Mount. And he was telling her all about it. It's chapter, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And he was telling her about, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek. And you know how we feed off one another? She got all excited about it. She went back in her study and come out in a little bit and said, 13 minutes. So I guess we'll fall in there somewhere between 13 minutes and 2 hours, if you'll pray. Larry Mullins, would you pray for us, please? Amen. Amen. You might not have heard it, but he wasn't talking to you anyway. I think I'm going to make it now. Feeling good about it already. For a few Wednesday nights now, we've been our subject's been the church in the wilderness. That phrase came out of Acts. The only time you see it in the Bible. But the history of it is, it starts over there in Genesis. Jacob takes the whole family, the whole nation, all the tribes down into Egypt. And then, you know, 400 years later, they're slaves. America's only 250 years old, been another 150 years longer than that. You can't remember when you weren't Americans. And they couldn't remember when they wasn't slaves. That's just what they assumed. It came up through. And then it starts in Exodus chapter 1 and about the midwives. They're important because in chapter 2, they're going to save the pastor of the church in the wilderness's life. They're going to hide him in the bulrush, Moses. And then get over to chapter 5 and we see why the purpose. Let's look at it in Exodus 5:1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. Why? That they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Now, they're going to get delivered. But you also know that we're a slave to sin. Or at least we were all born that way. We're born slaves to sin. And we need delivered. Now, maybe you've already been delivered, so I might be talking to somebody else. I don't know. But then he says, "Why? Let my people go. Why? That they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." I think that's what we're doing today. It's already been prayed about, worshiping, feeding from the Word, coming on in, gathering together. I just like gathering together myself. And we're feasting. Kind of like in the wilderness. Now, the church on the pew, on the padded pew, on the carpet's not quite like the church in the wilderness. But we've been looking at contrasts and the way they're different and the way they're like. Now, the problem is, Exodus 5:2, Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord?" Yeah. He didn't know him. You know, I was that way for 21 years. Yeah. I didn't know who he was. He said that I should obey his voice, and that Israel said, "Who is he anyway? Do you know who he is? Do you know?" I finally learned. I'm glad that I know who Jesus is now. I'm glad that I learned that was the Creator that died on the cross for the creature. Now, the good news is I'm a creature. The bad news is, you are too. I hate to tell you, but we're all sinners. We're all wicked. The Creator made us. He said, I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Now, his problem was his ignorance. He didn't know. He didn't know. Now, everybody's ignorant about something. I was ignorant for 21 years. Well, tell you the truth, I didn't know which way was up. Do you? Do you know which way's up? I didn't. I didn't know it was Jesus. I didn't know that was the Creator on the cross. I didn't know. I knew Jesus was a good man, prophet, priest, king. I knew he did miracles. I did not know that Jesus was Jehovah, God Almighty, come down from heaven. The Creator dying for the creature. Revelation 3:17 tells us about it. Here's the Lord talking to the Laodicean church. That's us. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation. Well, it might not be us. You could put yourself in it or not. Seven letters to seven churches, but there are also time periods. And the church of Laodicea starts in 1901, the same year the first man-made perversion came out. And here's what God says about them. Because thou sayest, I am rich. Unless it changed in the last few years, the Catholic Church is the richest organization on earth. Yeah. Might be a little different now, and I'm not saying this is the Catholic Church here, I'm just saying. But this is Jesus talking, red letters. He said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. You need anything this morning? You're an American like me, we don't need much. Got our bellies full, our gas tanks full, $5 a gallon gas tank full. And knowest not, they're ignorant. The Laodicean church is ignorant. Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. One fellow said, I'll tell you what's wrong with the world. The guy said, what is it? He said, it's ignorance and apathy. Ignorance and apathy. He said, well, I don't know and I don't care. It's an easy solution. You don't have to stay ignorant. Whosoever will can get in this morning. Whosoever will. It's not a select few. It's not just the Baptists. It's not just Nicholas County. Whosoever will can get. He's here. Hallelujah. He is here. You can get in this morning. You can get in the family. And to be saved, don't miss this part, there's no difference. Red and yellow, black and white. A mixed multitude. We'll see here in a little bit. In Exodus, the mixed multitude. So a lot of them came over with the family, with the nation, with the children of God. There's no difference. Red and yellow, black and green, meanest kids I ever seen. But you can get in today. You can get in. Romans 3:21 says there's no difference. But now the righteousness of God. Not the righteousness of Rick. Not the righteousness of being. The righteousness of God without the law. Without the Ten Commandments is manifest. Being witnessed by the law of the prophets. Even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Anybody can get saved this morning. Anybody. There's no difference. There's no difference to be saved for salvation or deliverance. Or deliverance. Romans 10:12. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. That's all there is in the world in the big picture. If you're not a Jew, you're a Greek. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all. That's what makes him Lord. He's over all. He's over all. He's rich unto all that call. Now we're kind of running into the problem there is everybody don't want to call. I already told myself for 20 years I didn't call. Didn't want to. Wasn't interested. Didn't want to. But I could have got over my ignorance real fast and I could have known him if I'd have called. It's unto all that call. And it's up on him. Acts 15:6. The apostles and elders came together for consider of this matter. And when there was had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles, now the Gentiles are going to get in now, by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe, and God knoweth the hearts and bear them, the Gentiles, witness, giving them, the Gentiles, the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us Jews, and put no difference. There's no difference between us and them, Jews and Greeks, purifying their hearts by faith. There's no difference this morning as far as salvation is concerned. Anyone can get in. Even if you're from Nallon, you can get in this morning. You can get in. So what is the difference? What's the difference? Who would want to get saved if there's not going to be no difference? Well, let me tell you this. The Lord makes the difference. I didn't clean myself up. I didn't save myself. I can't keep myself saved. But the Lord makes a difference. Let's look at it again in Exodus 12:13. And the blood shall be to you for a token. A token is a picture of the blood that's going to be shed on Calvary. At this first Passover, they put the blood on the doorposts, on the lintels, a picture of the cross to come. Old Testament people were saved by putting their faith in a Savior to come. It was a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now there's a big difference right here. And God made the difference. No individual could have done this. Here's what He did. He saved those that had the blood alive. That's a big difference. They're alive. The Egyptians are dead. The firstborn anyway. They're saved. They're delivered. They're unsmitten. He said He won't smit them. He said, there's no plague on you. Well, that's a big difference. No plague. They're alive. They're not dead. They wasn't smitten. That's a big difference. But God did all that after they got saved. It's not before. There's no difference before. The difference is after. Let's look at it in Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore to yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which He, God, hath purchased with His, God's own blood. Let me read it again right. Take heed in yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. Yeah. Now, there's some preachers, some churches believe and preach in sinless perfection. And where they mess up is they got the definition wrong. If I tell you I got saved November 16th, 1974, and I haven't sinned since then, you already know I'm lying. If you don't, you can ask Sister Kim. She'll tell you. Ask the boys. Ask my family. But you know me well enough to know that I'm lying. Here's the problem. Sinless perfection is a person. And sinless perfection stepped out on nothing and made everything. And then He went into cognito. He took on a body. He left heaven. And He came down here and was born of a virgin. Because all the sin runs through Adam's blood. The Holy Ghost was His Father. He was hid out in a body. God never took on a body before. And He walked on water. He made blind eyes see. Crippled legs walk. He raised the dead.
Yeah.
We couldn't stand it. We couldn't stand having Him with us. And we killed Him, buried Him. He rose again the third day, and He went back home. He went back home. That's sinless perfection. There's only been one, and it's Him. It's none of us. The jokes tell about you get to heaven, St. Peter's standing there at the gate, and ask you questions, different questions, different jokes. But one of them is, why should I let you in? Now, I don't think that's the way it happens at all. But if it would be, if I'm wrong and that's the way it happens, and you're in that situation and you're standing there at the pearly gates, and St. Peter says, why should I let you in? Whatever you do, no matter what, don't start your answer with I.
Amen. Amen.
Ain't gonna work out. Don't do it. You might try he. You try that. Brother Clark already hit. How about this? Jesus paid it all.
Yeah.
All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Jesus washed it white as snow. Right back to that blood again. We're on this Exodus blood. We haven't forgot where we were. Egypt represents the world. And the church is not Israel. But both the church and Israel are God's people. That's why we've been in this lesson to learn some comparisons and contrasts. Exodus 12:27. "That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when He smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head and worshiped. They came to the feast. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord commanded." Now the Egyptians didn't do that. They don't do it. The world don't do what the Lord commanded. "Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead." The Israelites had a dead lamb and put the blood on their door. The Egyptians had a dead son. Either a lamb or a son was dead in every house. I'd go with the substitute.
Yeah.
Is the way I'd go. See, on Judgment Day, I need a perfect sinless substitute to take my place. And I'll go ahead and tell you His name. It's Jesus.
Amen.
It's Jesus. "And He called Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as ye have said." So there's a purpose to being delivered and saved. There's a purpose for this difference. It's to serve. It's to serve. 12:38, Exodus. "And a mixed multitude," I told you this in there, "went up also with them, flocks and herds and very much cattle." See, whosoever will can get in this morning. If they would. If they will. Everybody won't. Everybody don't want to. Let me say it that way. Everybody doesn't will to. Again, me for 20 years. Exodus 12:47. "All the congregation," we're talking about the church in the wilderness, "shall keep it. And when the stranger shall sojourn with you, will keep the Passover to the Lord. Let all the males be circumcised. And then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. And no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof." Saul, when the Spirit of God came on him, he was another man. Another man. "There's one law shall be to him as homeborn and unto the stranger." One law. Everybody's alike. No difference. "Thus all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the self same day." Now let me tell you what's available today. You won't have to go to therapy or nothing. You don't have to wait till you get the test back. But what you could get in on today is self-same day deliverance.
Yeah, right.
The self-same day. You can get delivered today. You can get delivered this morning. The self-same day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. They started their journey right then when they got saved. They started right then to the promised land. They started right then that when they came through the blood, they started toward the flood. They got baptized unto Moses and they came to the table.
Yeah.
They came to the table just like you did. That's why you're here this morning. You come to the table. These are things that accompany salvation. That's what happens when you get saved. You get baptized. You go to church when the doors open, read the Bible every day, pray every day. Blood separation, if you will. It's deliverance that left someone in Egypt was not God's. Everybody that was under the blood left Egypt.
Right.
Everybody.
Right.
A salvation that left them in Egypt was not God's salvation. They wasn't delivered if they left it, but no one stayed. The whole nation, all of Israel, the whole congregation left. That's what saved people do. That's what. And this is God's plan because He needs a holy name. He's a holy God. There was gods all around in Babylon. The Philistines had gods, but God was holy. It was different. And He called out a people to Himself to be holy. So when they got delivered, they moved out like God told them to. Until the whole congregation stood on Canaan's side of the Red Sea, deliverance was not done. It wasn't deliverance. In Egypt, there was no tabernacle, no temple, no altar, no praise, no site, S-I-T-E. We won't get into it today, but God had a place in that wilderness where all the people come to one place, just like you did this morning. There was a place. God picked it. I couldn't pick my place. I can't. I mean, you can worship at home, but there's a time and a place to come together like this. When I took my place as a ruined sinner, He took His place as a righteous Savior, and He called me out. He saved me and called me out. God opened the water one step at a time. When Moses took the first step, it started dividing. Now, Egypt saw that. The whole family got across, the nation got across. Pharaoh and his army saw it, the Egyptians saw it, and they tried a cheap imitation.
Yeah.
They tried to do what God's people did. They went, they all got drowned, they all perished. Pharaoh and the whole army died because of imitation.
Right.
Now, by no means this difference we're talking about now that we're on this side. It's not, the Holy Spirit didn't come to improve self. I have not improved. Myself has not improved. The Lord come in and make a difference. He made a new man. Exodus 11:7. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord put a difference between Egyptians and Israel. There's a difference between the world and the Bible believer. And God did it. God, we'll see here in just a minute. Exodus 10:21. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness that may be felt. I'm going to say coal mine darkness. I mean dark. It's dark. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. And they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But guess what? All the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Now God did that. They didn't do it. God did it. God makes the difference. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who made thee to differ from another? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory? And if thou hast, as if thou hast not received it. See, God changes us. God makes a difference. I was a lost Egyptian worldling. I was ignorant of Him. I was as ignorant as Pharaoh. I did not know Him. He delivered me. He rescued me. And I'll go ahead and tell you, it's better now. It's not just better. It's better. Or not just different. It's better. It's better now since Jesus saved my soul. It's better now since by His blood He made me whole. It's over and over and over again. We keep bumping into the blood. It's God's blood. It's not. I didn't do it. I didn't know the Creator. I didn't know He was the Creator. I didn't know He died on the cross. Let me just tell you a little bit about this deliverance. See, now instead of afflictions, now I've got blessings. I was blind and doomed and damned, but now I'm alive and I can see. God opened up my... Do you remember when you saw the light? You remember? See, life was dull and hard making bricks for somebody else. But now the future looks bright. That's what Brother Dennis said. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This peace and rest that the Lord gives us when we get saved might be the most valuable part of salvation. I don't go to the psychiatrist now. I don't take tranquilizers now. I sleep all night. I'm like that guy we talked about in Sunday school. I can sleep now all night. No problem. See, I was uncertain from day to day, but now I'm going to an expected end. I know where I'm going. And I know what to expect when I get there. The Lord's going to be there. The Old Testament government of God killed the sinner. The New Testament grace of God kills the sin. Once I was far off, but now fellowship is at His feet. It costs nothing. I can go in every morning. Costs nothing. Israel was guilty. So was I. God's holy. I was discouraged, discontent, and in debt. But now I'm satisfied.
Amen.
And I have an inheritance incorruptible.
Yeah.
I was near to despair when He came to me there.
Yeah.
I was wretched and blind as could be when the Savior in love gave me peace from above. And He reached down His hand for me. He had to reach way down. He digged us out of the pit is what happened. I was lost and undone without God or His Son when He reached way down. It's a great danger to fret and murmur and complain and to be impatient. See, I need to trust Him. I need to trust Him. Now, the way the church in the wilderness did not have a GPS. Didn't have a map. There wasn't even a path. No one had went this way before. And here's what the Lord said. He said, tell you what I'm going to do. I'll be a pillar of cloud in the daytime over top of the camp. And at nighttime, I'll be a pillar of fire. And whether it be a day or a week or a year, if I don't move, you don't move. You stay right there. When I move out, then you move out. And that way you'll know where to go and which way and all that. Now, if God moves out with a pillar of fire and I don't, I'm going to be in the dark. If I move out and He don't, I'm going to be in the dark. Now, we don't have that today, but we got this. If I move when the Bible says not to, I'll be in trouble. If I don't move when God's Word says to move, I'm going to be in the dark. I'm going to be in the dark. That's the way they was. In this ever-changing world of humanism, we need the immutability. That's a pretty good word, isn't it? The 25-cent word. It means unchangeable. We need an unchangeable Bible and an unchangeable Jesus, and we got them. We got them. We can go with that. I had poverty, but now I'm adjusting to counting my blessings, being adopted into the family of God by the Father. I'm just talking about being delivered. What's like being delivered? Tumult was my normal. I was just about to lose my mind, and He rescued me. We heard it in Sunday school. It's what happened. Now I have a personal quiet time of peace. Again, maybe the most valuable thing we have is peace. Peace. I need to remember that I was going down for the third time and He rescued me. He saved me. I was facing capital punishment forever. But now I look forward to everlasting reward. One day, one day. What do you want this morning? Bondage or free? Which it's our choice. We live in America. Darkness or light? Which you prefer this morning? Hell or heaven? It's our choice. No, God doesn't send anyone to hell. He lets man have his own free will. And if that's what I choose, He vetoes it. He just lets me go. Complex or simple? Which way you like it? I like it like this, simple. Fifth grade level. Whosoever will. You like lies or the truth? It's your choice this morning. Any, you say, well, he did that for me. Anything the Lord touches will do. He used a jawbone. He used a rod. He used a sling. A lunch. A donkey. A pitcher. A tent peg. Maybe just one word. Somebody might have said one word to you and you got in. If I trust Christ plus anything, the end will prove I'm trusting the anything. Let me show you what I mean. If I, the Lord will save you, forgive your sins, but now you know you've got to be baptized too. Well, what that means is, if you don't get baptized, you're not saved. That's not true. Yeah, the Lord will save you, but you know you've got to go to church. Well, what that means in the end is, if I didn't go to church, Jesus wasn't enough. It's Jesus alone. The Lord will save you and forgive you. You know you've got to behave, you've got to be good. Well, that means in the end, if I didn't behave, I was lost again. Jesus wasn't enough. No. It's Jesus alone. Jesus alone is what it is. Sinless perfection didn't come down to see if we earned salvation. It was enough for Him to know that we needed it. And He came. He got our deserts, and I got His. He got what I deserved, and I got His. My face in the dust is where I ought to be. That's very fitting for me. I need to remember I was making bricks as a slave, and He delivered me. He rescued me. He saved me. My King is known for His mercy. They're going to sing it here in a minute. You get to thinking about, see if you need any mercies. You want to go on your own? You want to go on your own? You can. I'd go with the mercy. Today, this morning, you can get in on self-same-day deliverance. Today. You don't have to wait on any time. He sets us free. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. John 1:12. This is what we all need. Maybe you already took care of it. It might be my... These two verses are mine. My life's... John 1:12, but as many as received Him. Have you received Him? I didn't say, did you give your heart to Jesus? I said, have you received Him? See, I had a hole in my heart, a void that nothing else would fill but Him. He's the only one to fit it. Do you have Him? But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. See, in the Bible, the ones that believed are the ones that received. They got in the vehicle we're talking about in Sunday school. They started it up. They put it in gear. And they exercised their faith. Here's the test. Here's how you know if you need to get in or not. 1 John 5:12. He that hath the Son... Let me ask you, do you have Him? I'm talking about present tense verb, hath. Do you have Him right now? Not I used to be. Do you have Him now? He that hath the Son hath life. That's eternal life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You can get in this morning and get same day salvation.
Royal robes, they rule from thrones, waging wars. victory.
My King is known by mercy.